Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
And as we're moving towards the election, discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
We're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it! Cram it!
Shut up right now!
For
you
God's
shut up.
Sake!
I swear to God, I will go over
you.
Punch you! You! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. Hi, friends. It's Amy Guth and Rex Hupke back for another episode of Guth and Hupke on Politics. Since we last met, we were allowed on the air live, which was super fun.
Incredible.
And we hung out. We were in for Bill and Wendy, which was fun. It was challenging to not talk about politics because that's our de facto thing to bitch about.
It was
hard also not to swear because since we go right to the website, we have a little, you know, little wiggle room to do some swearing. We're not in our normal studio today. We're in a studio that's used for cutting promotional things. So we're awkwardly not even facing each other.
the chance of a neck injury during this podcast is very high just from having to
immediately.
Yes, I'm actually standing on my head just trying to fit in this closet.
Oh, good times. Yeah, this is a janitor's closet turned into added with microphones added. I kid, it's lovely with state-of-the-art things, and we're grateful for the time. So as we say every single week, if you take a minute and sneeze, there are more things than you can keep up with this election cycle. And of course, this week is no exception to that.
Yes.
I am particularly discouraged and filled with rage today. I don't know about you, Hubby.
I am. A joy has left my body. I feel nothing anymore. It's all darkness.
It's real. I mean, we've been talking a lot. We've been hearing about people that are getting like election fatigue. I think I hit peak election fatigue today.
Yeah, it's exhausting. And really, we still have to, it's our jobs, we have to keep talking about it and paying attention. I have to question how many people out there maybe are actually starting to tune out a little bit, because you are getting to the point where a lot of people are voting, early voting's going on. So I think some people might just be like, oh man, I'm getting my vote in and I'm getting the hell out of here because this is enough already.
I plan on doing that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like,
podcast is over after today.
What day? How soon can we do this? I'm not undecided. I'm ready to vote immediately. So there's that. There's a lot of stuff going on, though, that I think is particularly just troubling. I feel like, in particular, the hatred and the anti-Semitism has kicked up a notch a little bit. Not to bring Emeril Lagasse into this,
yes.
But I feel like it has kicked up a notch this week in a gross way,
yeah,
and in a personal way. Like, I've seen it hit me and friends of mine, and it's grossing me out, and it's hurtful and terrifying.
Yeah, I've seen this throughout to varying degrees throughout the campaign, and as a white male non-Jewish person, the vitriol I get, while often ferocious, never measures up to what other journalists who are Jewish or people of color or a woman or what have you get. And now it does seem, however, like you're reading a lot more about reporters who are being called out. There's people at Trump rallies holding up swastika signs in front of the media. And the thing for me, the real point where this took an even darker turn in as far as Trump goes was just the other day. He gave a speech in which he started talking about a global conspiracy to elect Hillary Clinton and her meeting with international bankers. International bankers is a anti-Semitic code word, and
it
has
is.
Been basically for as long as there's been anti-Semites. I think.
Absolutely. He all but said global Jewish conspiracy.
Yes,
he
exactly.
He all but said that. Which I don't have the energy to explain why that stereotype exists. It's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It is a stereotype. I promise you, as a Jewish woman, there is not a meeting. There is not a conspiracy. If there is, I have been sorely left out. I have no say in anything that happens with any bank. I have no say with anything in Hollywood but one lowly documentary that I'm doing myself. Nobody, right.
That's enough. All we need is that little
sliver. Honestly, someone who, like, recently, it was like, but you do work in the media and you are Jewish. Tell me you don't have an agenda. I'm like, what?
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I mean, that honestly, the idea that, first of all, if there was... Let's just get into crazy town for a second.
Sure.
And if there was some massive conspiracy out there, then why wouldn't everything be the way they allege the, you know, Jewish conspiracy right. wants it to be? Like, why would this have failed for what? I mean, this goes back to Hitler, before Hitler,
pre-Hitler,
you know,
yeah.
pre-Hitler. So if it's a if there is a massive Jewish conspiracy, it is doing a terrible job.
I was going to say,
it's very unqualified.
My shower door has been broken for like 3 weeks and my building super doesn't give a damn. If there was a conspiracy, yeah, my
God,
shower would be awesome.
Exactly.
My water pressure would be better. I would probably have a few more dollars to my name. I would probably be, I don't know, doing all kind of neat crap that I'm not doing right now. Like, if there was a conspiracy, I think there would just be different things. Like, it's so absurd. I don't even know where to, it's hard to even talk about it. And I'm sitting here going, I cannot believe that we are actually sitting down talking about this, because it's so absurd to me. And it's been something like my whole life has been such a laughable joke when people say that. I mean, 1 year for Halloween, a group of friends, we all dressed as our own ethnic stereotype just to like, because we started talking about it and like, where, what is the origin of all that? Where does that come from? What is that? And just to kind of poke holes in it and be satirical. And it ended up being like, we really inspired a lot of scary conversation that night.
I can imagine.
That at first it was kind of, the surface of it was interesting. And like, oh, that's cool that you're doing that. I see you're making a political satirical statement. And this was a long time ago. I mean, this was like 15, 20 years ago. And then it quickly got to like, yeah, but I mean, it is sort of true. No, it's not really. Like, I made a purse out of a box of matzah. And it said something like Christian baby blood or something. And someone was like, but weren't they originally like that? Like, no.
They? First of all.
They matzah or they Jews? Yes. What are you saying right now? Like, it's just so nuts to even be having this conversation. But his speech, his most recent speech, just chilled me to the bone, because that was clearly what he was saying. He was this whole global conspiracy thing he's saying, that's what he's talking about. That's code for that. That is shorthand. And my friends, seriously, my people have seen this play out before. We have all watched this play out before, and it ain't good. Like, it doesn't go anywhere positive at all. And it's terrifying to me. There are still plenty of people on this earth that were around the first time this played out for my people. And it's terrifying. It is so terrifying. And it's scary to me that I'm seeing some people that I would consider intelligent people that are like moderate politically actually listening a little bit. Like, I don't know that I'm hearing overt anti-Semitism from anyone that I consider moderate, but a little bit of, well, there is a little truth. No, there isn't. There's not. That's just not a thing. And I'm very afraid. And I think we're kind of moving to this point where I'm already over thinking about the election on some level. Because at this point, I think it's going to be what it's going to be. But I'm more worried about this genie we're not going to be able to put back in a bottle.
Exactly. And that is, for a while now, has been the thing that has scared me the most about this. And what I've viewed as the most insanely irresponsible part of what we're seeing is that he has uncorked.
Yeah, I didn't do it.
Yeah, no, sorry. See, it's a conspiracy. I'm pinning it on you, Goof. No, but he has uncorked and given voice to people who for so long felt like they could only rant about these things in dark corners of the internet. And now all of a sudden they feel like they can come out. And that's not strictly anti-Semitism by any means. I mean, we're talking about racism, xenophobia, yeah. Islamophobia. And actually, to be honest, I had the anti-Semitism element of it, I had not seen a lot out of him per se that would make me think that. And when I heard that speech and I heard him start talking about, first off, that's pure Breitbart. The Breitbart website is highly, you know, globalist are evil, yeah, and, you know, wink, wink, Jews, wink, wink sort of thinking. So that was clearly all orchestrated by Steve Bannon, who is the former Breitbart head, who's now the CEO of Trump's campaign. Also, I'll give Trump the benefit of the doubt here in that I don't know that that's why he's saying that, but because he actually thinks that way. But I think that it's being said in the campaign because they are trying to drive up their numbers among the people out there who do buy that kind of crap. And I think that it's an effort to wink at them Although, frankly, they're you would think they'd have a much more coded way to wink, because again, international bankers, like, bing, like red flag goes up. It's like, oh my God, stop. So, but anyway, regardless.
And also, why be coded? I mean, he hasn't been coded about anything.
True. Yeah, exactly.
At this point, like, I want to ban Muslims. Like, if he's going to say that, like, what the hell? Like, why be coded? It's very clear you do not like anyone from Mexico. You do not like any Muslims. You do not like, why be coded about Jews? Is that like being nice because his daughter converted?
I don't know. And that's the other thing, is that his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, is an Orthodox Jew and is actively involved in the campaign, which again makes me think, like, okay, why are they that's where it really breaks down for me a little bit. Again, I'm not trying to cover for Trump at all, but I do wonder how much of the comments in that speech were intentional to just rile up the voting base that he has of tinfoil hat wearing anti-Jewish conspiracy theorists, and so, which I think is is a probably disturbingly large number of people in the, at the end of the day. But yeah, it's just, you know, all of these things, we've got all the whole, I mean, the problem with all of these conspiracies too is if you turn them on their head, they make no sense. I mean, just look at stepping away from the anti-Semitism or anti-everybody ishness of him. It didn't make any sense, but you know what I mean.
Oh, it made sense.
It did make sense, actually.
Oh, yeah,
that's what's scary, I guess. You turn it, look at the election is rigged stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
If he was winning, would the election be rigged? No. If he wins, was the election rigged?
Of course
no.
Not.
If Bush or Rubio or Cruz had won the primary, that would have been rigged. But if they went on and beat Hillary Clinton in the general, then it wouldn't have been rigged. So there just is no, I mean, it makes absolutely no sense. And that's what drives me bonkers about this kind of stuff, is because I don't want to believe that there are enough people out there who don't have the intellectual capacity to reason that out.
I know.
But who knows?
But here we are.
But here we are, right.
Here we are.
Exactly.
And I think that there are some people that do, but are so blinded by their own sexist bias, they don't even necessarily realize they have. I mean, I'm there are people that are like, well, he's a monster, but she just seems like a bitch. What? What are you saying?
Yeah.
Do you think he seems like a real, like, sugar and spice little angel peach? No.
Right. You have to be
able
to.
You wouldn't hold a man to that standard of sweetness.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. No, I wrote about that a couple of weeks ago, finally. And I tried to, I mean, when you talk about sexism in the campaign, I mean, I think it's obvious that it is there. I also think you get into, I was worried about getting into kind of murky waters a little bit,
sure.
Or seeming like I'm trying to use that as an excuse to, like, lift her up and knock him down. And I don't think that's, frankly, I don't think that's necessary because of who he is. And I wouldn't do it. I mean, I'm not part of some grand media conspiracy. I don't lift people up because I want them and knock people down, because I don't. I try to look at people on their, on their credentials and on their what they say and judge them that way. But anyway, I reached a point where I'm just like, okay, look, this is absurd. Okay, you look at her, the way she's being, the things that she's being criticized for and the way she's being criticized about it. And then you look at this guy who is literally just, well, not literally, but he is basically starting fires everywhere he goes and burning
the fire
things.
Will come, though.
Yeah,
there will be literal fire,
yes,
I'm sure.
The earth will be... scorched by the time.
I do worry about election night. I mean, really, if people are angry enough to tweet things like photoshopping yellow stars on our colleagues and bullet holes in our heads and bullseye or like crosshairs on column photos, what is to say there wouldn't be some kind of, you know, I'm nervous about that. I admittedly try not to play too many what ifs, because you just never know, especially this election. Every time we think we have a what if, it gets crazier.
Yeah, exactly.
But like, I wonder about how things will go election night and if everyone will be moral and respectful, which brings me to the delightful video put out by our friends in Canada. Did you see this, Rex?
I don't know.
It's this lovely video, and it's like a love letter to the U.S.
Oh, no, I haven't seen it.
And it's in response to Make America Great Again.
Uh-huh.
It's basically like, hey there, U.S., we already think you're pretty nice. And it's Canadians saying positive things about America.
Oh, I love it. That's
it's
great.
So nice.
That's fantastic.
It's like, I cried when I saw it. I thought it was so beautiful. And I probably, again, tweeted, Still not too late for that Canadian husband.
Yep, right.
Still accepting marriage proposals.
Yes, exactly.
Ahem, gentlemen of Canada.
Yes. I love Canada. I think Canada is great. And I like some of the funniest people that I follow on Twitter are from Canada. So they have a great sense of humor in general. But yes, I look forward to moving there if necessary.
Well, I mean, we joke. And I know. I was actually talking to my dad about this the other day, who is a military veteran. Mm-hmm. And he served in Vietnam. And we have a lot of differing political views, but we can talk about it. We can talk openly, for the most part, about political things. And I said, you know, when I joke about Canada, he gets offended. He feels like I put my life on the line, as did your grandfather, as did, you know, your uncle, plural uncles. And, you know, that feels like you're kind of flipping me off when you make jokes about Canada. I'm like, that's fair. I hear that.
Yeah, I can get that. Yeah.
But I also was like, hear that when I talk about, you know, when I hear a leader talking about global conspiracy, that signals and I feel attacking women. That's a signal that I'm not, you know, that there's a whole swath of us not welcome here, particularly female us. And when I hear him talk about you know, when I hear Trump talk, like even in jest, because everything's a joke, right?
Yes.
Talk about like this reform needed in media. That, I mean, you're threatening our livelihood at that point. Like, okay, you've pretty much, there's nothing left for me here at that point. Like, there's plenty of people that have fled a country because they no longer feel safe there and they didn't want to. It wasn't like, screw this place, I'm out. I mean, I mean, for the first time, that like isn't that much of a joke, you know?
Yeah, I completely agree with what you're saying, and I think that is a feeling that's shared by a lot of people. I mean, I think about the way we feel, and in terms of the tone of all of this, and the nature, and the kind of backward, what I see is very backwards thinking.
Yeah.
And the direction that a lot of this would take the country that I happen to love a great deal.
Sure, yeah.
As I think most Americans would say that. And take it in a direction that, you know, is not just backwards, but is awful in certain regards. And I think about, okay, that bothers the daylights out of me. Imagine being...
And you would be like in a relatively protected group.
Exactly, yeah. Right. That's what I always go back to is I'm like, okay, I'm, you know, straight white guy, non-Jewish white guy, and I should be one of, you know, Trump, he should be my guy, technically speaking, like, I should be on the Trump train, but, you know, I mean, just from those characteristics, except that I have a college education, but otherwise, sorry, but, well, that's actually true, though. Yeah, I mean, you know, if you look at the polling, his numbers are the highest among white, male, non-college educated people. That's not a joke. It's just the reality of it. But anyway, you know, I think about what if I'm a relatively new immigrant, you know, who has just become a citizen?
Yeah.
How the hell do I feel then?
No kidding.
What if I'm a family raising a child, a Muslim family raising a child whose child is starting to hear crap at school from dumb kids who are picking up on this nonsense from Donald Trump? What if I have, you know, what if I'm a woman or... I mean, it doesn't matter. I actually don't think that even matters because I have a wife. I mean, you know, or if I have a mother, everybody's got a mom. You know what I mean? So it ties in, and I just think,
which brings me to a point. I have seen a lot of this just kind of erupt in the last few days, and I like it. And it is kind of this narrative of like, hey, reminder. You don't have to have daughters to be a decent dude,
right,
by the way,
yeah.
which I like a lot because I kept seeing that, like, as someone with daughters, I think, blah, blah, blah. I mean, even my own dad, like, bless him, he's even said things like, oh, my perspective changed very much when you were born. I'm like, why?
Right.
I mean, mom was there.
Like, yeah, right. What was she?
What's your problem exactly?
Yeah, about your mom or your sister.
Right. He had two sisters and a mom. And like, what? I don't understand. What did I do here? Like, why did I shift your perspective? Because you were responsible for me because I was an infant? I don't know. But I hereby give all men permission to give a shit about things without having to have a daughter to do so. I know plenty of men who do not have wives or daughters that feel very strongly about women's issues and feel very strongly about equal rights for women.
It's about, and I think Michelle Obama, I think, said this in her speech the other day that everybody was talking about because it was an amazing speech.
Yeah,
it's about being just a decent human being, and that requires nothing beyond just being able to see outside of yourself.
Yeah,
a little bit, you know. I mean, I don't have daughters, but I care about it
a lot,
and you know, and I care about it for my. I have boys, and I care about it for them. You know, I want them to know right from wrong, and again, not to. It's not that I'm trying to teach them specifically that you don't treat women that way. It's that you don't treat human beings
that way.
Okay, yeah. I don't care if it's a male, female, or whoever. You have a certain level of decency with which you comport yourself. And that's what makes life good and makes people good.
And I normally feel like, you know, good will prevail, you know, good voices and strong, moral, intelligent things rise to the top. And the good guy will always win. And I say guy, like royal guy, like we, the people, you know.
You mean man. Yeah, of course.
Right.
Always the hero figure. Come on. I mean, we know this.
Of course. But, I don't know, today I'm discouraged. I think today I reached peak election. And I think I need to start disclosing that maybe it's just today. I don't know, maybe I'm under-caffeinated. I didn't sleep well last night. I was, kind of worried about all this. I was really, it was really kind of weighing on me. Like, at what point do we say, okay, too far. Okay, this is scary. Okay, this is, I don't know, because I would have sounded that alarm a while ago.
Yeah.
And it's at some point we're going to say, why didn't someone do something sooner? I mean, there's that kind of long poem about, you know, and then they came for so-and-so, mm-hmm, and I said nothing. They came for so-and-so. You're right. And I kind of feel like we might be at that stage of, there's no actual wall. No one's actually getting round up. Look, at the end of the day, this candidate could influence a lot of behavior of his supporters and say, like, hey, whoa, you guys, you're tweeting things about, you know, dangerous things about reporters. You're threatening the lives of not just reporters, but human beings. You're threatening the lives of people. You're not being a decent human being. You're not. It could have been nipped in the bud a long time ago, and it hasn't been. It's only been encouraged, and gasoline and grenades have been thrown on this fire. And it's starting to scare me. Like, today I feel really kind of icky about the whole thing. I mean, I've always felt icky, but I feel like really kind of like, shit, how long till the election?
Right.
I really feel kind of worn out about it today.
I think there's a lot of that going around, but it's justified. And you're right. When the history of this is written, as they say, the greatest shame is going to be, number one, Trump himself not having the decency to put out these fires that he started.
And in fact, retweeting
white
supremacy.
Up until just the other day he was doing. I mean, retweeted. There's a guy tied in with InfoWars that he retweeted the other day. And, you know, I mean, that's the same group that they came after me. I mean, they threatened people. They're horrible.
Yeah.
And so he has done nothing. But a very close second place, in my opinion, is the Republican Party. And the shame that will come down on these politicians who have watched this crap happen and who have done nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at Paul Ryan, who, despite everything, even though, like, policy-wise, I couldn't disagree with him more.
Yeah.
But I thought that there was, under that, I thought there was a good person, you know? Like, I never questioned. When he and Romney were running, I didn't like him. I didn't agree with much of anything they were saying.
But it didn't seem dangerous.
Right. It didn't seem dangerous. And I felt like, okay, you know what? There is a person there who cares about his country. I don't agree with it, but I do think he cares about his country. Now I just don't know. Because honestly, how do you not say this is unacceptable?
I know.
Where do you draw the line? And don't talk to me about Hillary Clinton, because that can be treated on its own. I mean, if you can be as opposed to Hillary Clinton as you want, you can yell and scream about all the horrible things you think she's done, whatever. That doesn't make the things he's doing any less significant or less dangerous. And it is dangerous. I mean, journalists are getting a target on their back is what's happening. I mean, he's calling journalists out right and left. He's saying that we're all in the bag. He's describing Election Day as Independence Day.
Oh, my God.
And he's saying, like, if we don't, you know, then this country is going to end. And look, I mean, there's a small percentage of lunatics in this country, but there are lunatics in this country.
And it only takes one.
Right, exactly. That's it. I wrote my column today. I wrote about Timothy McVeigh. And I said it only takes one person. And we learned that before.
Yeah.
And we should remember that and not let this kind of rhetoric that feeds into the just twisted minds of people who think the government is out to get them, who think that immigrants are pouring over the border to take our jobs, who think that, you know, people are out to kill us and that there's some global conspiracy going on. If you feed them, they're going to act out. It's going to happen. And if you weren't one of the people to stand up and say, no, we can't do this, then shame on you. Yeah. And again, this is a partisan thing, because certainly everybody on the left has stood up and been like, whoa, you know, this is unacceptable. I mean, people have been trying to beat this back all year. And then you've had a few very, I think, honorable Republicans who have absolutely said no way, and they've stood up to it, and that will, again, be forever to their credit, and they will be the ones who will rebuild the Republican Party after this crap ends, and it's all burned to the ground, which is what's happening.
Which is totally what's happening. But, I mean, I think, like, a whole rebrand is needed.
Yeah.
Even a new name. Something totally different.
Exactly.
Rebrand. Here, buy a new domain, get a new Twitter handle, just leave it behind.
Yeah, it's going to be like Philip Morris. After.
Do some market research, get a new name. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And it's, but it, I worry a lot about it. I'm the same way. I wake up at night. I mean, it's something I'm thinking about. Of course, we're both like so deep in this soup that it's hard to escape. But I think there are many people who aren't in our profession that are doing the same thing. And you're kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop, because you know it's coming.
You know it's coming. I mean, every time we think, well, that's super crazy. What's going to happen? Like, can't get any worse. Then it's, I mean, if I think of what I thought of as, oh, gosh, this is the bottom. This is the worst. Like, 4 months ago, that's nothing.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, we forget in a period of a week, you forget. I mean, you know, this week, I think a few days ago, Trump said something about Hillary was on performance-enhancing drugs during
that.
The last debate, and we should drug test before the next debate. I mean, that was like nothing. I mean, in a normal campaign, that would be like, what the hell are you talking about? Right.
Show.
And here it's just like, oh, that was Tuesday, you know, or Sunday or whatever. I mean, it just doesn't even matter.
And I feel like we are also really underestimating the impact and the sensitivity levels that we're talking about here, because I think not just not being able to put the toothpaste back in the tube at the end of the election with what some people feel like they can say now. But I think there's a degree of, I think there's some internalized stuff going on with people that are hearing it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's kind of scary that, you know, I personally know some reporters who have been aware of being photographed by Trump supporters at events.
Yeah.
And it said, oh my God, a stranger just tweeted my picture and said, get this bitch or get her and like all these things. She's like, all I'm doing is standing there writing down, like, she said she turned around and was like, hey, I'm just writing down what your guy says. I'm not doing anything. I'm just doing my job here. If it was up to me, I wouldn't even come here.
Like,
you think I want to be here?
Yes, this is awful.
I'm just writing down the facts and going home. But some, you know, it's like suddenly all these, you know, reporters I know are having real conversations like, hey, am I in danger to do that? Whereas I think that's the last thing in our minds normally. Like, sure, I'll go there and cover that and do that. And yeah, maybe it'll be dangerous, but the truth matters and I want to tell it. And suddenly, like, there's a almost like a compromise of like, not a compromise, because I don't think anyone's actually altering their behavior, but I think it's in the back of our minds now. Like, well, crap, if I go to that, like, am I going to get harassed more? Or is my family in danger? Am I in, you know, what's going to happen? Or it's scary.
It is. And it derails democracy, because if you don't believe anything that the news media, that the actual legitimate
people
news media,
people reporting the things that occur,
people who are trained to do this and know what they're talking about and have history in what they're covering, if you don't believe that and you think it's all a bunch of nonsense and it's all made up, who the hell are you going to believe?
Right.
You're going to believe completely crazy people who are just spouting nonsense.
Yeah.
And then that just reinforces and off you go. And you're just in cloud cuckoo land the rest of your life. And there's no bringing you back.
Right.
And that is corrosive beyond belief. And
I think that's, I mean, I think that's a danger for anyone and any side, really. But I think it's particularly, you know, so last night I was at the gym and they have kind of a wall of TVs and like explicit instructions. Nobody can change these televisions. They have to be like one will always be on ESPN.
Uh-huh.
One will always be on CNN. One will always be on Fox. One will always be on MSNBC. One will always be on, you know, all the TVs right there. So like everyone shut up. Everything's on. Right. And I was sitting there and at one point I looked up and basically the same things were on all of the news channels. But what a vastly different way they were, on the lower third text on the bottom, what a vastly different way they were being explained. It was so interesting.
Yeah.
So interesting. And I'm just like, you know, if you don't challenge yourself to look at a variety of news sources, you risk being in this echo chamber and just finding things that reinforce what you think. And, you know, I make myself go look at other, other sources I know are completely biased just because I want to know what's happening there. Like, what's the narrative over there? What's being said? And it's rather appalling, I have to say.
Yeah. No, you have to take information from different, even in among mainstream sources, you have to take information from different. I read lots of conservative columnists and I read, you know, all kinds of different news sources that are credible, whether they're left or right or whatever. And I think that's highly important. But what you get, and this is probably a topic for another show, but you look at, just quickly, you look at the WikiLeaks emails that are the Podesta emails that are coming out. And that's a huge problem because that's all going out to a bunch of people on the internet who have, in the majority of cases, absolutely no idea what they're talking about, and they're filtering through these things and they're finding little snippets and saying, oh my god, you know, look at what they did, oh my god, they said this, they said that, which in some cases, I think, I'm not trying to defend the Clinton campaign here, because I think there's a lot of stuff in those emails that is despicable and annoying, and it shows the kind of dirty underbelly of politics and of a political campaign, kind of, you know, scheming and all this sort of stuff. So I'm not trying to defend it, but it isn't as bombshelly as people are making it out to be, because they're just cherry picking and they're taking whatever they want with no context, with no explanation of, oh, hey, you know what? That's how things work. You know, that's not, like, that's what literally everybody does. And you may not like it, but don't act like, you know, Clinton is unique in this way.
And also, like, the keyword search stuff. Right. Like, if you're just looking for one word, you have to have, I mean, the intellectually responsible thing to do is to take complete context. Read the entire body of work and take full context of it. And if you're going to do like a keyword search, like, oh, this word appears in it, well.
Right. It's meaningless. I mean, you have to put it without context. It doesn't mean anything. So that's the problem with not trusting, not putting some. It's okay to hold the media accountable.
Absolutely. There's a difference, though, between holding us accountable and immediately discrediting everything said.
Right. And again, going back to that whole like conspiracy theory flip-flop thing, if there's a big story in the New York Times tomorrow about Hillary Clinton doing something illegal, I bet Donald Trump is the first person retweeting that link after having said the New York Times is corrupt and totally one-sided and awful. So it's like, what do you know? I mean, the New York Times broke the email story. The Clinton email server story.
Right.
So don't tell me about the the corrupt conspiratorial media. If it weren't for the New York Times, we don't know about that.
Yeah.
So explain that one, jerks.
Jerks. I'm concerned. I need lots of caffeine and like a puppy today. It's just like, I saw a puppy out on Michigan Avenue today, like a cute little border collie. And I think the owners thought it was a little off-putting that I was like, hi, who's this? And then I just kept petting the dog and kept petting the dog. And they were kind of trying to get the hell out of there. And I was like, I just need a puppy today. You don't understand.
Why won't she go away?
The world is kind of a lot today. And it is. It is a lot. And I, as you said, we're kind of in this soup and, you know, we can't look away from it, both because it's, you know, upon us and because it's our job to not look away from it. But, you know, nonetheless, I think it's weighing on people. I think You know, I saw a lot of things. There was a protest this morning at Trump Tower, and I just saw a lot of things tweeted that, you know, my rule has always been, if you would not be willing to say that to another human being's face, don't you dare tweet it.
Yeah.
And I think we're getting to a point where there are things people will be willing to say to another human being's face.
Yeah, I think you're
horrifying.
Right. Yeah, because I think people have been emboldened by all this.
Yeah.
And that's going to cause problems.
It's scaring the crap out of me. It's scaring me for our industry, for our, you know, humanness, for our country, for all those things. And you know, I don't feel like the election is Trump's, but I just see it is what, the 18th of October, and I feel like there's just so much ahead between now and November 8th, and in the days that follow the election, I think there's so much ahead that's going to be very unpleasant and scary. And I'm still rooting for us all at the end of the day in this country to get our heads out of our asses and be decent human beings. Some days I have a little more trouble summoning that than others, and today's one of those days.
You know, if I can inject a quick note of positivity here, when Trump gave his international bankers speech, I was watching that, and almost simultaneously Michelle Obama was giving her speech. I did not watch, obviously didn't watch both at the same time. I watched Trump's first because I was already in there, and then afterwards, after throwing up several times, I went and I watched later in the day, actually I watched Michelle Obama's speech, and I thought, we're gonna be okay.
Yeah,
because
I felt good after seeing her.
She made sense.
Yeah.
And I think most people would listen to that and say, yes, this makes sense. I do not think that most people would listen to Donald Trump raving about international banking conspiracies and think that makes sense. I think most people would start to slowly move away and, you know, and run for the door. So I left that thinking, you know what, there are good people. I think most people are good people. I think the negative people and the malicious people are the loudest. And we have to always keep that in mind a little bit, that they tend to make the most noise. And yet, at the end of the day, they are small in number. And boy, I hope I'm right about that.
Boy, I hope you're right, Hefty. I'm sitting here looking for, there was an Onion headline I saw earlier today that was so funny. I can't find it now, but it was essentially a picture of Michelle Obama at that podium, at that lectern, giving that speech. And it said, Michelle Obama to Nation, you dipshits are on your own after January.
We're out of here. Like, good luck with that.
Good luck to you all. I'm done here. Yeah. And it was pretty excellent.
That is fantastic.
Good times. Well, cheerier tidings for next week, I'm hoping. But again, as we say every week, who knows?
What could go wrong?
What could go wrong? If Coyote and Roadrunner taught us nothing, just when you think, well, the anvil's fallen, nothing at worst can happen, then a boulder falls and you fall on a stick of dynamite.
Right,
and then, you know, who knows how the cards will fall by this time next week. But
meep, meep.
Right, indeed. Go watch the video that is the love letter from Canada to us. It's very sweet. I cried. I teared up. I thought it was very good.
Thank you, Canada.
Thank you, Canada. And if, you know, any of you gentlemen are single, hello, Canadian gentlemen, accepting marriage proposals now. All right, my friends, Amy Guth and Rex Hupke signing off. We'll see you next time.